KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling.
Good morning, Reading. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show today, Positively Healthy. And boy, we are moving into new information, good information, always something to teach you, and things that we get to learn ourselves. And so on the line right now, we have Chris Kirsten, and in the studio, we have Bill Burrows, rancher in Tehama County. And Chris Kirsten, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me, Trudy.
Oh, well, fantastic. You know, I want to start with the fact that you are the PR person for something called the Savory Institute, and I know that's like a new thing for you, so congratulations.
Thank you.
And what exactly, let's just kind of start at the beginning here. We have you on the show first, of course, because you are a Chico person. You're involved with agriculture, forward thinking, etc. But there's an event coming up that you're promoting. Let's just kind of kick it off and go right to it.
Yeah, so on December 6th and 7th, that's this upcoming Friday and Saturday, we've got an amazing lineup of people coming. We've got Alan Savory, which is the founder of the Savory Institute. And he developed holistic management and holistic plant grazing. It's all about how to use grazing models to restore the environment. So you're actually enhancing the environment rather than degrading it. And it follows principles of mimicking nature and wild herds of ungulates, so ruminants. And his TED Talk, which he did last year, has now had upwards of over 2 million views. It's been very popular. And then we've got Rob Wolf, who is the paleo superstar. He's also originally from Chico, but has definitely gone international in his success. He speaks all over the world and is just an amazing powerhouse, talking about how traditional diets can really help people feel better and heal a lot of these autoimmune diseases that plague Western societies. And then we've got Jenny McGrither.
Let me just jump in there really fast, because I want you to remember that we like to claim Rob because he's from Reading.
Sorry.
So yeah. He's a homegrown guy here, and he has his own little local fan club, too. And so that's fun for us. Yeah, so go ahead.
Rob is incredible.
Yeah.
And then we've got Jenny McGrither of Nourished Kitchen, who's probably one of the most popular food blogs on the Internet. And Jenny's a longtime friend and very much in support of the work of both Alan Savory and Rob Wolf. And so she's going to be there as well, talking about how to kind of bring these concepts home. You know, now we know that, okay, how animals graze can make the land better. What does that mean to a consumer? How do I make different buying habits? You know, Rob's been talking about how you feel better and the nutritional science of eating a more traditional diet. But then Jenny, again, is going to complement that with, well, how do I make different buying decisions in my home, and how do I cook things, and how do I change my lifestyle so that I can still kind of have a normal home. And then we've got Dr. Cindy Daly from Chico State, who started the organic dairy there at the university and has just been really open-minded to kind of alternative thought. She's one of our best assets in institutional research, and really, really gets this stuff and really wants to see change be made. And she did a series of studies on the nutritional profile of fats in grass-fed meat and milk, really substantiating the claims that, you know, grass-fed meat can be as healthy as, if not more healthy than wild salmon. And so she really looked at that fat profile and really tore that apart. And has had tremendous results, and her work is cited all over the planet. So it's a real treat that we are bringing together a team of mostly locals, but these people are worldwide famous, and so it's kind of celebrating our own. We're also going to have ranchers from around the North State that are doing really cool and innovative things, using holistic management, and selling grass-fed beef to the public. And so we're going to get their perspectives, which is going to be phenomenal. And then we're going to take a bus tour up to Bill Burrows' place and see all the amazing work that he's doing, understanding what harvesting sunshine really means. You know, you can get past the idea of just producing meat and fiber and come up with some really creative ideas. And Bill is just a champion for those kinds of ideas and has been, you know, an amazing asset to us locally. So that's going to be phenomenal. I've extended the early bird special on the conference, and it's $200 for the 2-day conference, and that comes with all paleo friendly meals. So it's really a steal, and it's really a benefit that we're bringing it right here to the, you know, North Valley.
And who do you want to attend this thing? Who should be there?
So I think we're kind of targeting two different groups, but for the same reason. One would be producers, people that are actually growing meats or produce that want to learn more about alternative farming styles and what consumers are demanding and what options are out there. And then really our main focus at this event is consumers, people that just want to learn more about, you know, they've come to the conclusion that either Western medicine or Western nutrition has failed them and would like to learn more, just have an open mind to learn more. And we're going to talk a lot about ecology and nutritional sciences, and where there's some real traditional insights that can help us all.
Now, how is it that Northern California has become a hub for this forward thought?
You know, Northern California is, you know, I love it here. I've had opportunities to move other places for jobs, and I've always, you know, done my darndest to stay here. It's such a special place because we've got a really forward-thinking set of you know, the general public, people that are making food buying decisions. But we also have a really forward-thinking segment of producers that are looking at alternative models, how to sustain the environment, how to make sure that we're managing the social and cultural impacts, and how to make sure that you know, we're staying profitable in the ways to stay in business. And so you put those two together, and it just makes for a powerhouse. You know, I talk about a food democracy, and you know, when the eater knows the grower by name, and they shake hands, and they exchange food for money week after week at, you know, farmers market or a buying club or right on the farm or wherever, that's a tremendously powerful relationship. You can cut out all the middlemen. And then, you know, look the person in the eye, your end user in the eye, but also look, you know, the grower in the eye, the person that actually, you know, put his heart and soul into, or his or her heart and soul into producing food for you. And so I think that overcomes a lot of society's ills. If we as a people can eat better, if we can tend the land better, you know, if we can make farming more economical, we can really solve a lot of the problems that people are in Washington are kind of scratching their head about, going, what do we do about this? And I like that, and I think Northern California is a real showpiece for that.
Excellent. And then, now, who is this Alan Savory guy? I mean, here we are. I'm sitting here with Bill. It's his best friend. you're working for him, and you know, 2 years ago we've never even heard of the guy, and now he has this TED Talk that is only 18 minutes long, and it just sort of woke, you know, half the public up. And so,
yeah.
Tell us about that TED Talk and why it has created such a ripple.
Yeah, the sleeping giant has awakened for sure. Alan Savory is an African ecologist. He's from Zimbabwe, who just has a deep passion for nature, particularly wildlife. And so he spent, you know, the first 40 years of his life, just really watching animals and their movements and kind of how they interacted with the land. And he had a few aha moments that I think changed humanity forever. He's a brilliant thinker, very, very, very innovative, very out of the box. But he did some research to show that the elephants were overpopulated in Zimbabwe. And so, you know, this was political dynamite. Nobody wanted to sign off on it. So the government found, you know, dozens of other scientists to prove his work. And they proved it. They proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt that the elephants were, their population was too high. The lands couldn't sustain them. And they made the decision to shoot 40,000 elephants to save the land and to save the rest of the elephants. And the land got worse. And Alan, it broke his heart. he didn't want to kill the elephants. You know, that was one of the hardest decisions of his life. And he couldn't understand why the land got worse. And so he watched and watched, and he saw a place where there had been a storm, and a bunch of sheep had gathered. And where they gathered, that land got better over the coming months. And they were all bunched together there. And so he thought, well, maybe these trampling animals can be a catalyst for the land for good. And so he started working with ranchers all over the world that were doing some form of rotational grazing. And in some cases, it made the land better. And in some places, it didn't have any effect, or it made it worse. And so what he came to realize over the years is that that if you mimic nature, these wild bunching herbivores, that the land actually responds positively to that. But it can't be done in a prescribed method. You know, when I've been on your show before and was talking about orchard farming things and organic farming, you know, we talked about, you know, there's recipes for farming, and conventional farmers typically say, okay, on April 1st I spray XYZ, you know, and on May 1st I spray another chemical, and on June 1st I spray another one. And they're not reacting to the situation, they're just doing it because that's what the recipe says. Well, what we found is that rotational grazing has the same effect. If you're just saying, okay, every 30 days I move my animal, you're not going to get the desired effect. If you have a grazing plan that's very proactive in nature, but still has the nimbleness built in to be reactive to results, you can have tremendous success in making your land better. And so, as the animals go and they trample the land, the big kicker is they trample that litter down. They take that dead grass or live grass and they push it in contact with the soil. When they push it in contact with the soil, it basically becomes like mulch. When it becomes like mulch, it holds water, just like mulch in your garden. And so the soil doesn't dry out. At the same time, this now additional water allows for more grass to grow, because you're actually holding on to more water. This allows more seeds to germinate. As more grass grows, every time more grass grows, you're sequestering more carbon out of the air and putting it into the soil in root mass. The more carbon that's in the soil is now almost like mulch or compost below the soil, below the surface of the soil, and so you hold even more water. So when the cycle is
Chris,
moving,
I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to interrupt you really fast because we need to go to a break, but uh-huh. I want you to, we're going to come back and kind of just pick it right back up where you are. But the upside of radio is that we have commercials, and sometimes it's also the downside. So, you know, so hold your thought. We're talking to Chris Kirsten of the Savory Institute, and this is Positively Healthy. We'll be right back.
Slow down. You move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
The Weston A. Price Foundation was created to put forth the research of Dr. Price, whose meticulous study of healthy cultures around the world has given us a foundation for traditional foods that promote vibrant health. The foundation is dedicated to restoring nutrient-dense foods to the human diet through education, research, and activism. The Weston A. Price Foundation supports organic and biodynamic farming, pasture feeding of livestock, community-supported farms, honest and informative labeling, and prepared parenting and nurturing therapies. You can join a local Weston A. Price chapter to attend monthly meetings and learn about these healing foods and practices. Creating community around healing foods is what Weston Price is all about. Check out their website, www.westonaprice.org. It's a virtual encyclopedia of information. Join the foundation and receive their stunning quarterly journal, Wise Traditions.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This alert is brought to you by Registration Express Group.
Well, folks, here we go. They're huddled up at the DMV, and it's another delay of game penalty. But what's this? B-75 is running out the door, and the whole team is following. They're heading to Registration Express Group at 1805 Hilltop, Suite 1, and they're in the door. The transaction is complete. Touchdown! If you're still in line at the DMV, break out and try something new. Registration Express Group. Fast, easy, and convenient. They issue official DMV registration tags and plates on site. Call today at 222-4700.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli featuring no nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
It's a North State holiday tradition, the annual Reading Republican Women Federated Elegance of Christmas Tea, with the theme A Star-Spangled Event, Sunday, December 8th at Wind River Resort and Casino beginning at noon. Sponsor a table or purchase individual tickets by calling 243-3724. That's 243-3724. Wear your holiday finery and enjoy a fashion show, music by the Lou White Band, and giveaways galore. Again, that's noon Sunday, December 8th at Wind River Resort and Casino for Elegance of Christmas Tea.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460 530-605-4567.
You are the sunshine of my life. That's why I'll always be around.
You are the apple of my eye.
Oh, welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and do notice that we had fruit and vegetables in the song. I heard apple of my eye, so, you know, always thinking about health. In the studio, we have Bill Burrows, Tehama County rancher, and he used to live in Reading, and welcome. You know, I haven't actually welcomed Bill to the show, so Bill, welcome. Let me let you just speak into this little microphone here, and you can say good morning.
Good morning, Trudy, and good morning, public.
Excellent. And then we have Mark Beecham, Record Searchlight Hall of Fame, and he's here also today. So, Mark.
Hello, Trudy.
Good morning. Okay, and then on the line we have Chris Kirsten. And so, Chris, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Excellent. Okay, so moving along here, Mark has a question for you.
Chris, I have a question, and that is, you know, I always thought the last couple of years with global warming and all this that livestock, particularly cattle, were part of the problem with global warming, not part of the solution. That's what's got me intrigued about what Mr. Savory is saying. So could you talk about that? I mean, the notion that flatulent cows are causing greenhouse gases and global warming sort of embedded in the public mind at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a few points to that. So, you know, you're definitely in the majority if that's kind of the assumption that you're under. The solution to climate change is the grasslands. Grasslands are some of the most productive lands in the world, and they have the ability, their soils have the ability to hold more carbon than any other ecosystem in the world. And so they trap that carbon below the soil surface. Now, there's been some philosophies out there for a while that if you let grasslands rest, they'll get better. This is only true in places that have year-round humidity, that have some sort of moisture content in the atmosphere most of the year over. Places like here in California, where we're dry for 6-7 months of the year, that doesn't work. Grasslands get worse. They turn to desert. We call that a brittleness score, and that was another one of Alan Savory's kind of aha moments. But yeah, if you're a tropical rainforest and you leave something alone, it's going to all get covered back into green, you know, biomass. If you're in a place that's dry for any portion of the year, that land's going to get worse if you let it rest. And so you can see that all throughout desert civilizations where their old, you know, civilizations, living structures, houses, whatever, are now covered by sand. You go to places like the jungle,
and they're all covered in you know, jungle that's taken back over it. So it's an important distinction that humidity level has a lot to do with what your prescribed methodology would be. So grasslands, particularly in a brittle environment, places that don't get year-round humidity, are actually as dependent on the grazer as the ruminant, the cow, is dependent on eating the grass. They need the cow to complete the cycle of biological decay. And so when you grow grass you're a grass plant and it grows up and now you've got all your grasses died in the dry season or it's dormant. Well, that becomes a thatch and it's just standing there up in the air and it doesn't have any contact with the soil to be able to break down. And so what the cows do is they're able to have travel packs of microbes in their gut and they go out and they eat this dead grass or they trample it to the surface of the soil. And when they eat it, it breaks down in their rumen. The rumen's basically a giant fermentation tank. So it's just like if you make sauerkraut on your counter or if you ferment beer at home, it's all the same principles. It's all this mass of microbes in there that want to break down that grass. The cow isn't any better at breaking it down than we are. It needs another symbiotic relationship with microbes to do that work for it. And in return, when those microbes die, they pass through the cow's gut, and that enhances the protein levels. So the cow is actually farming microbes. And so as that mass then passes through the cow and back onto the rangeland, now that manure is also enhancing the soil with those microbes as well. And so now you've got this biologically active system that's able to break down that grass, which allows more grass to grow. Every time that the grass goes through the photosynthesis chemical reaction, it's pulling carbon out of the air and putting it below the soil surface. And so the grasslands have tremendous power to sequester carbon out of the air, but if they don't have the cows to help them remove that dead material, then the process stops. And as the process stops, it gets worse and worse and worse.
And it's only cows, or it's livestock in general? It can be anything, or
It's anything with a rumen. And okay. So that could be everything from camels to sheep to goats to cows. And then there's all sorts of wild versions. And people always ask, well, why don't we just manage the wild version? Well, because they're wild, by definition, they're very hard to manage. In the state of the world as it is, we've put up roads and highways and you know, barbed wire fences. It's much easier to say the resource that we have is livestock. People are already managing them. Let's teach them to manage them better in ways that mimic nature.
So here's a question I have for you. I mean, here, you know, I've only watched the TED Talk, and so when I'm looking at this information, I can see that it's going to appeal to everyone who thinks that the Earth will be ending in the next however many years. And so I'm going to guess then that the next place that we're going to ask questions is, well, how long or what type or how are we putting together a program that gets this whole desertification thing fixed in short order? I mean, I'm going to guess that Alan Savory has a formula. Is that kind of where he's headed in his mind?
So what we're trying to do is just get it to take off around the globe in broader numbers. And so we have what we call a hub strategy, to where people around the planet can come to us and say, listen, we want to start a hub. We want to integrate this information to our local population. And then we give them the curriculum to be able to teach and manage that within their region. And so we're planning to have 100 hubs by 2025. We currently have 10.
Okay.
Everywhere from Turkey to South America. We've got them in Mexico, South Africa, Zimbabwe. We're working on one in China right now. They're just all over.
Okay.
And so
yeah.
So that's the strategy to kind of bring it to the world.
I can see that. Mark, do you have a question?
Yeah, and that is, we have an example, apparently, of Alan Savory's philosophy in the studio here with our guest, Mr. Burroughs. And he has an interesting background because he went to college at UC Davis, spent 4 years there, is that right? And 5 years, and graduated and came home and told his old man, who had the ranch at the time, that he was doing everything wrong, and has spent a good bit of his career learning that his old man was right and everything he learned in college was wrong. Is that right?
You betcha. And it was interesting because I should have found that out earlier than life, because my ag teacher in Red Bluff High School suggested that I put on some chemical fertilizer plots. And I did that, and the result of that was not effective, because my dad was growing his own fertilizer by putting legumes like peas and vetch into a rotation with cereal grains, and then using the livestock to convert the byproduct into manure and do basically the thing that Chris was just talking about, putting that nutrient back on the ground, the natural nutrient back on the ground. So it was a real eye-awakening experience to me when I found out that my university training wasn't necessarily the right kind of training with a very, very complex biological system that all ranches and farms are.
Chris, do you have any questions for Bill?
Bill is, he goes back to the early days with Alan. I don't know, Bill, give us your take on holistic management. Go over the, that from the beginning.
Well, I started using, as soon as I got exposed to Alan, I started using the word around my friends and my colleagues at Shasta College. And they wonder, they thought I was off my rocker. I mean, I basically vomited all over everybody about this phenomenal new decision-making model. And then what I found out, that I better keep my mouth shut and prove that Alan's principles of management were the right way to go. And so I started doing that at the college, because we had, we were running sheep separately, we were running hogs separately, we were running chickens separately, we were running goats separately. And so I just combined that whole herd into a mob. And we had goats, sheep, pigs, cattle, and I even tried emus into the system. That didn't work too well, because they were behind the door when they passed the brains out. But all those other animals were living compatibly together, even farrowing in the field, even lambing in the field. And we had to do a little social activity there, and any animal that ate the offspring of other animals had to go to Jimmy Dean, because that was not socially acceptable. But we increased the productivity of the Shasta College farm dramatically and cut down on almost no fertilizer, commercial fertilizer, or no pesticides. The chickens were eating the worms that were worm eggs that were in the feces. They were scratching and spreading the manure around so it would incorporate that next year or the next rain even into the soil. So there was a whole bunch of synergistic relationships that happened when we did multi-species grazing.
What year are you talking now out at Shasta College?
Oh, my goodness. You want me to tell you that?
Well, you know, Trudy? I just thought I would ask.
That was in the early, well, to the mid to late 80s.
Okay.
So that was way back when holistic management just was not an acceptable word in public conversation.
Bill, when next weekend, this event in Chico, part of the event is going to include a field trip to your ranch outside of east of Red Bluff. About how many miles is it?
About 25 miles.
25 miles. What are people going to see on that ranch tour?
Well, hopefully they'll be observing as they move from Red Bluff out in a very rural area, and will observe what's happening to most of the land between Red Bluff, I'd say almost all of the land between Red Bluff and our ranch. Once they move into the valley that we're in, they're going to see a completely different picture of diversity, of complexity. They're going to see different plants. They're going to see minimum amount of yellow star thistle, which is one that a lot of the people really hate. I don't hate yellow star thistle. I read it. I understand that it's a deep-rooted annual crop, and it tells me that, man, if I can raise good yellow star thistle, I can also raise deep-rooted perennial crops like perennial grasses that tremendously improve the carbon sequestered of that ranch because of the deep roots. They pull up nutrients that have been washed or down into the soil profile, they bring it back to the top, and then using livestock as the with hoof activity to put that down into the soil surface, like Chris was talking about, so that it doesn't oxidize standing and go up into the atmosphere as oxidation of CO2. And so that's really what they're, I hope they can observe that as they're moving out from Red Bluff.
And what you have is not a strictly organic farm. You do use some chemicals at some point in time, but you use a fraction of the chemicals and the fertilizers that your neighbors have used to their regret, I guess.
Well, they haven't regretted it yet because chemicals will give you a fast, quick response for a few years.
I think you called that heroin-addicted soil.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and not only do you get heroin-addicted soils using commercial fertilizers, but you also do the same thing with insects and insecticides. My dad, which was a phenomenal farmer, but he got trapped in the late 40s into this chemical thing. He used it because we had a really bad fly problem around the ranch in the homestead. So he used DDT. He sprayed DDT, and man, the flies were gone, except for two or three. And guess what? They were resistant to DDT. The next year, he sprayed it again, and he had most of the flies gone, but there were now maybe 100 flies. The third year, he decided, okay, I'll try it one more year, and that was the last year he ever tried it, because there was a developed resistance there to that DDT.
Just in 3 years.
In 3 years. It was just absolutely amazing. And that was his learning of agricultural chemicals. He never used them again and never used commercial fertilizers. He never used any more pesticides. I shouldn't say that. He did periodically use a pesticide when he had something he really wanted to support for a year. And he raised dryland alfalfa. Well, people say, well, you can't raise dryland alfalfa in a place that you don't have rains for usually 7 months. He was able to do it. He did, for the first year after he planted dryland alfalfa, he used a broadleaf herbicide that was adapted to killing, mustards and yellow star thistle, but not kill the alfalfa. But after that, no more.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, how did you meet Alan Savory for the first time? How did you hear about him?
Well, it was interesting because my neighbor, which is a forward thinker, called me up. I was full-time at Shasta College at that time. We had Easter vacation come up, and, of course, I was part-time farming at the ranch. And I said, okay. And Alan was giving a presentation at Red Bluff during that Easter vacation. And he said, come on and see what this guy from Africa, this crazy guy from Africa, is going to talk about. And I said, okay. It was on a Monday and a Tuesday. I said, if it's raining, I'll come because I can't leave the ranch, Okay. So I had too much work to do, I thought. And we were going broke at that time. I went to that place and there was 200 people there. And within 20 minutes, I knew this guy had the answer for us. And so then I got exposed to him, went to his class. He later told me, Alan, I'm really interested to see him. I haven't seen him for 6 months now because he still reminds me that I was a very bad student in his first class because I'd been university trained and I had all these problems with my paradigm. And so he said I was the worst student he'd ever had in class and I wasn't going to make it with holistic management. Well, it took me about 2 or 3 years and I was such a believer and we went through that before. I was vomiting all over everybody. So I had to stop, just demonstrate what was going on. Within 18 months, we'd had 7 years of loss at our ranch. Within 18 months, we turned it into the black, and it's been in the black ever since. In fact, it's the last 4 or 5 years have been the most profitable years we've ever had.
And what do you raise out there?
Well, we raise anything that the sunlight provides for us. So we do have a cow-calf operation, but only a third of our income comes from a traditional cow-calf ranch. Two-thirds of the income comes from agritourism. And we have a hunting program for black-tailed deer, wild boar, wild turkeys, doves, quail, and we have a guided California ground squirrel hunt that's real popular, believe it or not. And at one year, 7% of the wildlife income came from ground squirrels. It's a rodent that we normally want to get rid of. And we do that, though, by having a capacity to be able to market those and get rid of the problem without having, you know, really bad, serious pesticides to do that.
Okay. And I want to ask Chris a question. Chris, are we a hub? Are we one of the 10 hubs?
Northern California currently does not have a hub, so that will be one of the aims of this this California tour. We'll be making a few stops in the state, and we're on the lookout for somebody that wants to start a business. It's a for-profit, almost like a franchise model, but a little bit more collaborative than that, to be able to start a hub here in Northern California. And you know, I just want to emphasize a point that Bill made.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, if you're a traditional rancher and you've got ground squirrels and wild boar, you are just cursing at life, because most people just see that as the absolute bane of their existence if you're ranching. And one of the things I love about holistic management is, and this goes back to your point about, you know, whether or not part of your belief system that the planet is coming to an end, is it doesn't really matter. It's holistic management takes in the social, environmental, and economic needs to be able to make good decisions. And so one of those, you know, kind of early aha moments again for Alan was, you can't separate the culture of a people from the land. You can't manage the land any better than you can manage the hydrogen in a glass of water. That's one of his kind of famous quotes. It's all tied together. It's one piece. If a rancher like Bill isn't able to make money at the end of the year, it doesn't matter what his decision-making framework is, because he's not going to be able to stay in business. And so holistic management is all about tying those three pieces together, that social, economic, and environment. We're all lost if the environment's not thriving, regardless of what we think, you know, the future looks like for humanity. You know, if we can't do that on a local level, we can't produce food. If we can't produce food, society fails. And so, you know, I think that's an important point to bring home, that someone like Bill has realized that things like yellow star thistle, those are an indicator species, and they're telling him something about his environment, and he can make changes accordingly. So rather than reacting to these, what we perceive in our kind of linear minds as problems, but be able to see what the whole system is trying to tell us, and then look for opportunities in that system to increase our social benefit or enhance the environment, or more importantly, to get some economic gain from it. And Bill's just a perfect example of that.
Oh, perfect. Well, hey, Chris, we need to take a quick radio break here. And when we come back, I want to ask you a question that has to do with, I mean, there's a certain amount of wildlife out. Let's talk about the wild boar. I mean, now we're learning we kind of need the wild boar out there stomping about, right? So are we still hunting it, or is that, are there just still natural parts of our tradition that we continue, or are we supposed to let everybody just run amok out there now in order to try to stop this desert problem?
Okay.
So when we come back, we'll hit that one.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, you're listening to Positively Healthy. Don't go away.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
The Weston A. Price Foundation was created to put forth the research of Dr. Price, whose meticulous study of healthy cultures around the world has given us a foundation for traditional foods that promote vibrant health. The foundation is dedicated to restoring nutrient-dense foods to the human diet through education, research, and activism. The Weston A. Price Foundation supports organic and biodynamic farming, pasture feeding of livestock, community-supported farms, honest and informative labeling, and prepared parenting and nurturing therapies. You can join a local Weston A. Price chapter to attend monthly meetings and learn about these healing foods and practices. Creating community around healing foods is what Weston Price is all about. Check out their website, www.westonaprice.org. It's a virtual encyclopedia of information. Join the foundation and receive their stunning quarterly journal, Wise Traditions.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Woodward.
And Aaron Ryan.
We'd like to have you join us on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460 for We the People Talk Radio. We are all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
You know what? We've done programs on federal and state land use issues, governmental overreach, family values behind the green mask, Second Amendment and other constitutional issues, technocracy and the smart grid, the monetary system, of course, spending, taxes, and debt, topics that fall under We the People. We want to know what topics you would like to hear about. Email Aaron at wethepeopleradio.us for more information. Bust on to wethepeopleradio.us, and the archives are there for your listening pleasure.
We the People Radio, bringing to you topics that affect you no matter where you live. Come join the previously silent majority.
See you Sunday.
We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob the Drop from Mount Shasta Springwater. Did you know our springwater originates from glaciers high atop Mount Shasta? As they melt, the water flows through miles of volcanic rock to our springs at the base of the mountain. Pure and natural, Mount Shasta Springwater is naturally the best and the official water of the United States of America. Give us a call today and ask about our special introductory offer. 1-800-922-6227. That's 1-800-922-6227. I highly recommend it.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Amazing Foods for Life, gluten-free bakery mixes. If you're new to gluten-free or it's been your lifestyle for years, we're here to help. Often it can be difficult to find fast, easy, delicious treats. With our cookies, cakes, and muffin mixes, you can have bakery fresh in your home in about 20 minutes. Let us help bring joy to your kitchen this season. Find us locally at Orchard Nutrition, Tops Market, or Kent's Meat, or online at AmazingFoodsForLife.com.
Championship football is on KCNR 1460 this Saturday night. It's the West Valley Eagles hosting the Central Valley Falcons in the Northern Section Division II Championship game. Join yours truly, Nate Abarea, and my broadcast colleague, Denny Brugman, at 6:30 for pregame with kickoff at 7 live from the pasture in Cottonwood. Valley Bowl Part 2, West Valley and Central Valley, Saturday night, right here on the North State's radio home for high school football, KCNR 1460.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Ain't nothing like the real thing. No, no. Ain't nothing.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. In the studio here, we have Tehama County rancher Bill Burrows and co-host Mark Beecham. On the line from Chico, we have Chris Kirsten, who is the PR person for the Savory Institute. And Chris, welcome back. You've noticed that I won't let you go. I know we had agreed to you just being on for a half the show, but now I'm just, you know, sorry. Cancel your day. You're with us for 10 more minutes. And so the event that's happening next weekend is huge. It's groundbreaking. And why don't you hit the details for someone who might just be tuning in? Can you give the contact info and the information again for what's coming? Because we're hoping to get more people down there.
Yeah, for sure. So if you want to go to the conference, you want to go to www.savory, S-A-V-O-R-Y, SavoryInstitute.org/Chico. And it's a two-day conference again. We've got Alan Savory, the developer of holistic management and holistic plant grazing. His TED Talk had over 2 million views. We've got Rob Wolf again, paleo superstar, Jenny McGrither of world-famous food blog Nourished Kitchen, and Dr. Cindy Daly from Chico State, who did amazing research on the fat lipid profile analysis in grass-fed meat and milk. And so it's just going to be an amazing day.
If you're a consumer and want to learn how to get how to eat healthier and how your eating decisions could change the planet for the better, definitely come. If you're a producer, even more so come, because we're going to have a lot of science in there, really talking about how ecological processes and nutritional sciences tie together as one bigger piece.
And it's a 2-day conference, is that right?
It's a 2-day conference. We've got an optional tour that goes out to Bill Burroughs Ranch, who we've been listening to in the studio here. $35 for the ranch tour up to his place. Comes with lunch. And then it's $199 for the conference. Early bird specials extended through Monday. So for the $199 price, go ahead and get your tickets before Monday. And, that also has meals included as well. And if you have any questions, I'll just give out my phone number.
Oh, good. Okay.
Call me at 530-521-4052.
How did you meet, or how did you hear about Alan Savory?
So I heard about Alan from Dan Daggett. Dan Daggett wrote the book Beyond the Rangeland Conflict and Towards a West at Work. And I had been a conventional cow calfman for, I don't know, 5-10 years at that point, and went to an event where actually a local professor at school said, you need to be at this conference. And they said, you know, you're kind of a poor young rancher. Why don't we'll put you in the green room with Dan Daggett and let you know him, get to meet him. And Dan's become a friend over the years. And Dan has this amazing book. It's a coffee table type book of fence line shots of people using Alan Savory's methods. And on one side, they're not using it. And on the other side, they are. And he said, the difference is it's amazing to see how just your management decisions can change the environment that much. And what Bill talks about of the drive from Red Bluff to his place is no exaggeration. I did it this last week on Wednesday, and just ranch after ranch of just bare dirt, just denuded soils, just ready to wash away as soon as the rains come. And I got to the fence line of Bill's place, and immediately it was different. The land is covered. There's still green grass out there where the perennials are still growing and still holding on to moisture in the soil. There's no, I saw not one piece of star thistle out there. You know, and then he's making money from his hunt club, from people out there that are eradicating his squirrel problem and turning it in an income for him. So very, very, brilliant thinking there. And, it works. It works all over the world.
And again, the price for the conference is $199 if you buy your admission before Monday, I guess. But it's a little pricey. But what are you get? What do you tell me? It was like $199 for 2 days. It's a little pricey. What are you telling me that there's real value there?
Well, if you're a consumer and you're able to get a piece of knowledge there to increase your healthiness, you know, that's a doctor visit these days, especially with what's going on as we're all losing our insurance. You know, and so, you know, right there, that's covered the value. You know, these guys go all over the world, you know, Rob and Alan in particular. You know, they don't typically speak an event and get less than $15,000 to $20,000 as a speaking fee. Sure. And so, to have them right here in Chico is huge. And the knowledge of these guys is just immense. If you're a producer, I mean, we're talking about you learn how to make your land even one animal unit more productive and you've made up for the conference cost. And you sell even one more half of beef and you've more than made up for it. So the cost is fairly nominal to what you get, given the knowledge level of these guys and the impact they're having around the world. But then the fact that we also have food and stuff included, I think is a real benefit. We really want it to be as a comfortable experience for everyone as possible and have everyone meet each other in the room and really network and really get this movement off to new levels here in the North State.
And they also get a bus ride, right, out to Bill's place? Or
yeah, Bill's place, it's it'll be a little bit over an hour bus ride and it's real nice, you know, the fancy coaches that you see driving up and down the interstate. So they'll be real comfortable and climate controlled and we'll go all the way door to door to Bill's place and get out and then he's going to show us around his ranch and all the amazing stuff that he's doing.
Now, some people who couldn't make the Red Bluff and Chico event have talked to me about the other event that's in California. Now, when is that, or did that already happen?
So that's on Tuesday, and that's at Tomcat Ranch over in Pescadero. And that one is more for large-scale land management agencies like NRCS, RCD, things like that. And that one is completely sold out. So there's no room at that event. We will probably videotape that one and have it on YouTube before the end of the year. And so if you get on our mailing list at saverinstitute.org, we'll put that out in the newsletter so that content will still be available to people.
Okay.
But it's completely packed.
Okay, and Bill, what was your question?
Well, it wasn't necessarily a question. I guess it was more of a statement that our family was falling apart back in 1985 because of financial pressure we were having, and we were arguing and having problems in communication. And, of course, just as soon as we got that on the road of profitability, all of a sudden things started to change socially with our family. And because we were getting to the point that we may would have gone into a subdivision characteristic. I see holistic management being a savior of large units of land that will probably have conservation easements on them and will have a family situation that can be continually maintained by the offspring of the present owners. So if any of you are concerned about keeping producing lands in Northern California, you need to be at this conference.
Fantastic, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And then you were telling me about the whole, like, you felt strongly about the dynamic relationship between struggling, Earth struggling, and people on the Earth struggling.
Yeah, this is a process that doesn't necessarily need to be used with land management. It's a process that all of us, even if we're living in the middle of a subdivision and are interested in the future of our environment, the future of our agriculture, and the future of our relationship with the rest of our family, it's a phenomenal tool because it provides a complexity of decision-making. You have the social aspect, you have the financial aspect, and most important to me as a rancher is to improve the base that you're working with. And for people in that are practicing holistic management in a community, the base that you're working with in, if you've got a half an acre or a quarter of an acre or even a little piece of property any place, the base that you're working with is the people in your community and your family. That's your base.
Yes.
So this process can be very critical to anyone.
Excellent. Okay. Well, as we have our last 2 minutes here, Chris, kind of help bring us forward at that. That's kind of a nice way to end the show, really. That's quite lovely. And go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, if Chris could repeat the details of the event, the location of it and the hours and the cost and speakers.
And you both sound like you're really on purpose with this. I mean, it's in your cells. I like that feeling. So, Chris, give us the last minute details and we'll just be done.
All right. December 6th and 7th, it's here in Chico at Chico Elks Lodge, Manzanita Place. To get tickets and all the information, go to www.savoryinstitute.org/Chico. We've got speakers Alan Savory, Rob Wolf, Jenny McGrither of Nourish Kitchen, Dr. Cindy Daly, and then we'll have a panel of local grass-fed meat-producing ranchers that are using holistic management talk about how this is all impacts us as both consumers and or producers. And if you have any questions, you can call me at 530-521-4052.
Oh, thank you for coming on today. And, you know, congratulations with your new position. It sounds like a lot of work, and it sounds like you're up for the job.
Thank you, Trudy.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk to you again. You've been listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. See you next time.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down on the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy. Hello, lamppost, what you knowin'? I come to watch your flowers grow.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Scottish police say the death toll was expected to rise at that Glasgow pub where a police helicopter smashed into the building last night. Eyewitness Edward Waltham spoke to Britain Sky News.
People seem to want to get in there, and I didn't see much sign of people running away from it. People were running towards it and doing whatever they could to help people in there.
At this point, we know at least all three people on board the helicopter perished when it went down, and five people on the ground. The search continues for victims and dozens of people hospitalized. Four of the 10 people on board a plane that crashed in remote western Alaska died. Alaska state troopers say an infant boy was among the victims when the plane went down near the village of St. Mary's. Also at SRNnews.com, looks like the U.S. will play a major role in dismantling and destroying Syria's chemical weapons stockpile. That will be done at sea. Some of the most lethal parts to be carried out by the United States chemical weapons expert Hamish de Breton Gordon says it won't.